This is Podcast on Infinite Earths, an unofficial DC Studios podcast where we discuss all things in the DC cinematic universe. I'm your host, Porter, full-time editor and part-time filmmaker.
And I'm your host, Tyson, film student and beginner filmmaker.
Welcome to our show.
Well, welcome back, everybody. We are here today going to be breaking down Harley Quinn episode 8. Porter, thoughts?
Super great episode. I mean, you kind of had like a short-lived mini conflict between Harley and Ivy, but the overall stuff was great. We got some answers as to what Lena Luthor wants to do with the Brainiac's technology, and we got to see the return of Harley's parents. Yeah, what are your thoughts?
It was kind of interesting, you're right, to get like a bit of maybe backstory around why Lena's doing what she's doing. It makes sense why she wanted Brainiac's technology, and it was cool that they like finally moved on Metropolis getting like bottled up.
Yeah.
You know, it's been building to that for a while, so it's kind of exciting that, you know, it's kind of a, oh, now we have to like save the city that she stole.
Yeah, I mean, she was kind of funny, huh? I mean, obviously she's having a lot more fun with it than Brainiac, but I do wonder if that like perfection meter did hit 100% because Harley and Ivy were outside of Metropolis when she did it.
Oh my gosh.
So that like would be really she says that like it's dumb to have the perfection meter, but maybe it got to 100%. I don't know. We never saw that, but
in her mind, right, it was perfect, and we saw that she was like changing everything almost to differentiate from like her brother's shadow, which I assume she's been living in, right? That was kind of the whole commentary she was making about, you know, like screw you, Lex.
Totally. Yeah, she clearly has some trauma thing going on with Lex, and he is, it's fun that he's going to play a big role in this. I wonder if he's going to like, oh yeah, I'll help out, and then does like a switcheroo and then tries to, you know what I mean? Like
he becomes just the big bad in the
exactly,
end.
Exactly. That's my question.
Oh my gosh. Well, I mean, yeah, that'd be really funny if it was like Lex is the unlikely ally and then it switches and now Lena has to be the unlikely ally.
Oh my gosh. But yeah, it was good. She's clearly not attuned to the technology. I mean, Brainiac says like you don't have to verbalize your action or your commands, you can just think them. And she says that like it's fun to just verbalize them, and that's why she does it, but I imagine that she didn't know that she could just think them.
Totally. And I mean, the fact that she isn't a level 13 intellect.
Yeah, seriously.
I love this dynamic with Batman being yeah. just an absolute wreck in this, like, kind of ghosting breakup with Lena. And kind of getting that back and forth where she's just like, take a hint and won't pick up. And he's just a mess in his apartment.
Totally. Yeah, that was very fun. That was very funny.
And then we were laughing about the security system set up because...
Oh my gosh.
You made a comment about like how she's like a very polite villain, right? Just like interacting with this grandma and everything when she really could just wrap her up and move on. But no, that was the security system. And then things got scary real fast.
Totally. I mean, super clever. Just a funny thing. Because, yeah, Ivy could just wrap her up with vines and chuck her out the window. But, I mean, she literally ends up doing that.
Right.
But, you know, she's, like, trying so hard to be nice to this old lady, which is a fun thing. You know, differentiates it. But.
Well, and once again, that's just one of my favorite aspects of the show is kind of humanizing the villains. In all their faults, in like not always being bad people, in like, I don't know, they just kind of move them out of this two-dimensional area, and some of them, you know, get shuttled into like a more two-dimensional area where they just have these kind of bits that they play into, like Clayface or whatnot. But
yeah,
I feel like at least for Harley and Ivy, I mean, there's a lot of character growth, and you know, I'd imagine the old Ivy wouldn't have put up with that, right?
Not yeah, a fan of people, that's a good point.
Hard time coming out of her shell, and you know, finally she's able to put up with a grandma, even though she has like some vengeance to get to.
Yeah, that's a good point. Some character growth there. So yeah, it was fun because when Harley showed up to the house, after she gets the call from her dad saying that her mom died, and then the mom's like, "Oh, I'm here." I was like, "So what was his?" We were like, "What the heck, right?
She's
What
just gonna
was
get
it? Was
angry
he
and
planning to
leave.
get away with it?"
Right.
Turns out he is gonna harvest her organs, which is pretty dark.
It really is. And I mean, it plays into that fact. I mean, she hated him from the beginning. She kind of had that dark backstory where, like, she ran away from home and her dad was just always a hater of her. But that bit with, like, the little, like, handy helper who's, like, willing to
Oh
just
my gosh.
harvest organs made me laugh so
Oh, I
hard.
know. It's so out there. And we were saying that, like, the way he was going about it is probably the least precise way to go about, you
Right,
know?
he was like trying to stick a bandsaw into her chest, and you're just
Right?
like, what?
Yeah, super dorky. And then Harley's dad dies, and they have a quick funeral. And that storyline really
It wrapped up
happened quickly.
fast, yeah. And her mom, dude, is a character. We got like a bit of her kind of quirky side in those earlier seasons, but we're really getting to see just the full Harley's mom.
Totally, totally. It's like, oh, I can see where you came from. No. But
Yeah,
yeah, she's fun to have around.
so they did some screenings of the new Superman movie with some of the audiences just to see what their reactions were, and supposedly it got like fantastic reviews. This article is saying the tone is closer to the first Wonder Woman film and the first Guardians of the Galaxy.
That is amazing, 'cause First Guardians is fantastic, right? But man, that we've talked about this before. That first Wonder Woman movie is like one of the best superhero movies ever made.
So good.
And that's awesome that it's being compared to that.
No, genuinely. And like that is one of the crowning achievements of the DCU, like originally, right? Like they killed it with that.
Yeah, that's true.
One of the few things that, would be sad for them to have to like reset, but exciting that it's getting compared to that in that sense. This article also says the post also revealed that the film has superior CGI, which is
Superior to what?
to, I don't know, let's say The Flash.
Yeah, okay.
And I would imagine, I just think some movies have maybe gotten, and lazy is not the word for it, these people are working their asses off for this, but
Constrained.
constrained, yeah, like they are working under crazy conditions, and I feel like sometimes getting things out in time is just tough. So, I mean, with the amount of time that they put into it, I can imagine why superior CGI would be
That's
kind
a
of the
big
description.
compliment. I
Totally.
mean, I'm sure they're comparing it to more CGI heavy superhero movies like The Flash, like you were saying, or something like Quantumania or Thor: Love and Thunder, where there's just a lot going on. So that's a nice compliment to get.
Totally. And they also mentioned that the audience was surprised by some more villains in the movie than we were given clued into, like in the trailer. So I'm so curious. Like it's more than just Lex Luthor.
Okay, let's we'll have to do a predictions episode. That's pretty
Yeah,
crazy.
like I'm excited to see because they were making it like Lex is the big bad, and that might be the thing, but if we have all these superheroes like Hot Girl and Mr. Terrific showing up, there might be like bads plural to be fighting against.
That's super exciting. Holy crap.
Totally.
Yeah, speaking of the Superman movie, we got some updates on the lawsuit.
Oh, no kidding.
Yeah, so this is coming from the Comic Book News. So, as we've talked in the past, there's the lawsuit regarding Schuster's estate with the rights of Superman, and they were filing a lawsuit saying that they have not been compensated for the past several years for Superman projects, and that they want compensation plus moving forward with the Superman movie coming out. And I guess Warner Brothers and DC have been pretty quiet about it until recently. They have announced that Warner Brothers and DC Comics are moving to have the case dismissed. And according to Variety, the parties are, quote, arguing the issue has already been exhaustively litigated, end quote. And we talked about this, how it's a whole history of the lawsuit seemingly getting resolved. The attorney says that, you know, their complaint fails on every level. Like, they've already signed away all the rights to the Superman character. So I guess it's just a natural progression of at least our thoughts on it. We'll see how it turns out. But yeah, I mean, it took them like a month, but they've announced that they're moving to dismiss it.
And that's great. I mean, it sounds like DC's stance is essentially what our thoughts were on the whole case, right? Which is like, your argument doesn't have much footing here.
No, not at all. Yeah.
Yeah, that'll be interesting to see how that turns out. Do they have a date set for court yet?
No. I bet it'll be a whole lot of lawyers talking back and forth. And then if they really can't come to an agreement, then it goes to court. But I can almost guarantee you that that dismissal will go through.
Oh, totally. Either way, it'd be a fun case to follow live.
Totally.
So DC came out with like some fairly decent announcements surrounding kind of a bunch of projects that they've been working on. And I think the biggest takeaway here is when it comes to kind of the timing and release of these projects, it is very centered around the quality of the scripts in these projects. James Gunn has said that like he wasn't expecting to do a Clayface movie, I mean, at all in the first place, and then like this early. But the script was just so clean and like so well written that they just decided to just like greenlight it immediately, because some of these other projects that they've been working on haven't quite made it up to their standards. But supposedly the Clayface one is just like peak.
Yeah.
Which is extra exciting. But yeah, that's essentially why, you know, the Batman has been delayed. Shows like the Amanda Waller show that they were coming out with. They just have like a bunch of things that aren't, you know, making it out maybe as fast as fans are wanting. And it's essentially because James Gunn isn't wanting to put out anything without like a rock solid story.
Yeah, sounds like the quality control is pretty tight over there, which is a good thing, I think. I feel like it's a good standard to have. A problem might arise when, let's say, they really want like their version of Avengers Endgame to come out at a certain time or a certain year, but they don't have the script down. What's going to happen then, right? Like, right. is the we need the good script going to prevail, or is it like we need to get something out?
Right.
I would hope the script will prevail, because I hope that the track record of these movies will show like it is worth taking the extra time.
Totally.
But
and it, I know you'd mentioned that they have some really ambitious goals for releases when it comes to like the amount of shows and movies per year, but it sounds like they have like such just a large amount of projects at least in the works right now that it should be easy to kind of push enough of them through to hopefully keep fans satisfied. I mean, we all know that the character comic book guy isn't too crazy, too far of a reach of a character. There are plenty of us out there, but I know that I do, and you as well, try to be hopefully a bit more understanding of the studios that we get. It's not easy, but
I mean, I feel like I know there's some hesitation around like DC wanting to put so much content out each year, which I understand, that's a lot. But if it is able to stick to that quality and it doesn't have to all be connected the same way that some of the Marvel TV shows are to the movies.
Right.
Sounds like they're wanting to keep those pretty standalone.
Mm-hmm.
Which, if they have that much content in a year and it's good and it's standalone, I don't see what the problem could be, right? Like, if it's good, awesome, like, we'll watch it, you know, but the problem arises when it's too much and it's not good, but you still feel like you have to watch it.
Right. I think that's one of the problems Marvel ran into, like post Endgame, is they were dropping a lot of shows and they weren't getting a ton of love from the fans. And I don't know for you, but that was for me one of the kind of the moment where they sort of lost me. And that point where I just stopped getting excited when I heard about a Marvel production.
Yeah, I mean, I was still like into the movies enough, but I'm with you. I feel like it was seriously like a trend until like Loki season two or Echo, where like the show would be like, okay, this is pretty solid. And then like the last episode, it would just like fall flat on its face.
Yeah.
That's not true. Miss Marvel's isn't that bad, but it was kind of like I didn't get my hopes up as much for the TV side of things, but I still watched them all.
Totally.
So hopefully quality stays good, and even if the quality dips, hopefully it's all standalone enough that people aren't going to feel like they have to watch it.
Right, you don't have to sit through something you don't love just to understand the rest of it. But some projects to be looking forward to are obviously the My Adventures with Green Lantern, which
Yeah.
is going to be kind of a rendition of My Adventures with Superman.
Right, like a sister show,
Yeah,
yeah.
which is super exciting. I mean, that's a show that you definitely have loved, and
Oh yeah, that's great.
they're talking about doing a anime Blue Beetle show.
Yes, okay. And didn't they say something about keeping the cast from the movie?
Yeah.
Okay, that's fun. Because I felt like the guy that played Blue Beetle, what, did a good job.
He did a good job. The storyline maybe wasn't the strongest. We kind of discussed that a little bit, but
Yeah.
he was a solid actor and he played the part brilliantly.
Oh yeah. I feel like having it in that medium and in a TV show is a great idea. Like, 'cause I feel like we all love, animated Batman TV show, animated Superman TV show to like throw on for your kids, right? Now we're gonna get a Green Lantern one, which is fun, and then I feel like a Blue Beetle perfectly fits that status of like it could be something fun for young people to watch as well. Like, even if it is a bit more mature, right? Like some of the Batman stuff, but it's something that a kid could watch and be fascinated by. Kind of the same vein as like a Spider-Man show.
Totally, totally. And I feel like it'll be a lot easier for them to come up with fun storylines without having to worry about killing themselves in the CGI departments. I mean, Blue Beetle as a character has so many options when it comes to weapons and scenarios. It's such like a Green Lantern-esque, right? Kind of, you just make your own world of it, which you're totally right. That could totally fit the anime feel. So I'm excited, hoping they can make their way to that. Another one that they're discussing, and there was speculation that this might just be like small releases pre the Superman movie. They're gonna make little, almost like the Pixar short films, little crypto short films.
Oh, I love that. Yeah. That'll be great. That's a fun idea because, I mean, people I know that don't even know who Crypto is, watch that Superman teaser trailer and are like, Crypto is awesome, right? Because it's a
Right?
dog, right?
Right, because
Almost everyone loves dogs.
we're human beings and they're just man's best friend, right? Like it's
Totally. I mean, I'm talking like someone I was talking to was like, oh, Crypto's awesome. Like, but like, does he fly or does he just like run, right? And I was like, oh no, he flies. Like, I'm telling you, like, people that know nothing about crypto are
never even
like,
heard of
this is
him.
awesome. So that's gonna be a hit, I'm sure.
Totally. And I feel like that would be a very relatable and fun way to build hype. It doesn't have to be anything giving anything away, right? It's definitely, if you do short stories, could be very standalone. But once again,
Yeah.
you're totally right. People love dogs.
Yeah, that's such a clever idea on their part.
Totally. They're also talking about doing a live action Teen Titans. And I'm not positive if that'll be a show or a movie. Hopefully a show. There's a lot to go on there, but that'll be pretty fun.
Yeah, I know they kind of did a live action show called Titans, I believe.
Yeah.
I never watched it. My dad watched it and he said it was pretty good. It was like a soft recommend from him.
Okay.
I still plan on checking it out someday, but I feel like a movie would be a good idea as well if they did a live action movie for Teen Titans because it's a lot of characters that they could introduce in a movie and like it could work, right? I mean, they don't necessarily need to sing a song introducing themselves like in Teen Titans Go to the Movies. But
One of the greatest
oh dude,
feats of
seriously, that
DC.
movie is like low key one of the best superhero movies ever made. and it is slept on, dude.
It is. And I think what's exciting is, because you make a good point, they've done this in the past, they've tried it. I think it'll be just exciting to get the perspective of James Gunn's universe thrown into the Teen Titans, because it is, once again, kind of that group dynamic. You get so many characters that maybe people are less aware of, and they can bring in some of the lesser-known Titans as well. I mean, we've gotten several cartoons breaking down kind of the classic five, plus, you know, X amount of characters, but it would be fun to see where he wants to take this.
It would be a smart way to quickly introduce a lot of key characters.
Totally.
For that universe, because the thing with Marvel is they don't really have, at least how the MCU did it, is they had to kind of give the main Avengers, minus Hawkeye and Black Widow, their own movies, right? To kind of be like, this is who they are, this is who they are, superheroes, this is what they do. And then they brought them all together and it worked like magic, right? But this is kind of a different setup where it's like, we're actually going to give you the group teams first. And it should work, right? I mean, Guardians does it and it works totally well enough. Yeah. But Teen Titans, be a smart move.
Totally.
All right, that's all the news we're going to cover today. This has been Podcast on Infinite Earths. I'm your host, Porter.
And I'm your host, Tyson.
And we'll catch you next time.
See you later.